Okay, well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Self Achievement Network. My name is Dominic, and guess who I'm here again with? Zenaya. Hello, Zenaya, how are you?
Third time.
Yeah,
three times. Third time about freedom.
Yes, three times. How does it go? Three times a charm, or no? Something like three times something. Something like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, today we are going to talk again about freedom, becoming a free human, and also a little bit today about getting in touch with your inner child and what that means and what my experience is and what her experience is and what she's studying and things like this. And it really goes very much parallel with my new book. And I just actually
Absolutely.
Sent her a copy of it, and she hasn't read it yet, but here is...
I haven't had a chance yet.
Here is the name of the book. Can you read it?
I absolutely love the crossroad sign, or like left and right, because we always have a choice. We always have a choice. Either you are becoming, or you're staying as a victim, or you are having a choice as a creator and taking a driver's seat and finding out that you are the medicine for your solution.
That's exactly right. So this is the very, this is my first quote. I don't know if you can read this. It says,
"The ultimate gift you can give to the world is to show you are consistently evolving. Otherwise, what is the point?" Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, I've been saying this for a long time about evolving. You know, I was doing a podcast with my wife last year, and I told her like last week, we have to start doing it again. It was called The Evolution. And it's not about like evolving like the world evolving, really. It's more about us, like you said, taking responsibility for learning how to evolve our consciousness and how
Absolutely.
And how that gives back to not only to the planet overall and the energy, it gives back to all the rest of the humans.
As within, so without.
Exactly. So I've had lots of experiences with dealing with myself primarily, that there was a time in my earlier life where I was not a very, for a better word, a very free person. I was very, I was very trapped in my own, in my head. I was very angry. I was a blamer. I was a, anything that I could find to not take responsibility. But the funny thing is, now that I can look back at it, I can honestly say that I didn't know better. I was doing the best that I knew how.
Exactly. We always do the best we can with all the tools we have. So no blame. That doesn't mean like we can stay in the victim mode or something. What we have done, oh, that's fine. I did it because I didn't know better. We have to take responsibility. What happened to us wasn't our fault, but we got to take responsibility to get to the role of creator. That's the choice. We always have a choice. We all have the same tools. That's the beautiful thing about this dimension of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because over the years, I was telling a friend of mine the other day, she said, what did you used to do? And I said, well, I used to be involved in a personal development organization. And I used to go, after I became a qualified coach myself, after many years of working on myself, I had coached maybe, I don't know, several thousand people.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, now that I've been doing this and I'm almost retired. I don't really do it for a living anymore. But when I see people in the same space that I was when I was younger, I have so much compassion because I know that they just don't know. And
they don't know any better.
They don't know any better. And they're doing the best that they can. And sometimes it'll bubble up inside me where it's like I want to go, and I want to shake them and say, wake up!
Yes.
But I know they don't know any better. So, anyway, this book that I wrote it really is about becoming a free human, because I think the ultimate game, that's the name of the book, is really about learning to be, not to be who we are, but to be truthful about ourselves.
That means being who we are.
To be
true. You are born as authentic, vulnerable, beautiful, blank page, and then it starts, the society, the authorities, all the programming, and then it gets all imprinted. But, you know, like, even the guy who are solving, like, the most, like, killers in the worst prisons, there is the biggest root that is always there is the childhood trauma. It's the issue we either inherited or experienced. So we all have the potential to really rise to our true potential. It's not something metaphysical or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that first, but actually the suffering, not like suffering, like, oh, I'm going to be in victim mode, but truly the bad experience is bad, which is not bad. We think it's bad, but actually it can be a redirection and it can be a transition and transformation that we think it brought me to awareness. We never think like, oh, I'm so good, I'm having a lot of money. We don't care about evolution. Only when we lose something, when we feel that we are missing something, that's where we start to think, that's where we start to feel there is something deeper, there is something more within me, like, this can't be, that can't be it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree. I mean, I can say when I was younger that I used to go awry, so I'd get depressed because I was like, is this all there is?
That's what always my question was, like,
yeah,
is this it? Like, I gotta just pay the bills and die, and there's no purpose, no higher meaning, no role that I have here, no unity with people. So that's what this age where we are just in our brains, we are disconnected from the body, from the senses, from connection with others. We think being connected with body means what? Porn or alcohol, or, I mean, I'm not saying or judging, everything like that is fine, but until it doesn't control us, and mostly all these things are escapism from what? From our inner child, from the needs of our inner child that were neglected, and whatever negative happened to us when we were kids. And it can be even a teacher who told you, you can't draw, you will never be an artist. All these things become imprinted within us, same as positive, also the negative. And what we want to do naturally is that we want to push it. We don't want to, like, experience it. And as we are trying to push it out to our small reptilian brain, we don't want to revisit it. We also are getting rid of our parts that are inner child, which is like creativity, curiosity, exploration, innovation, all these things that are so needed in this world, right?
Yeah. I mean, to me, when I think about inner child, and this is what I wrote in my book, you know, and when we observe children now, little kids, you know, 3, 4, 5,
yeah,
6, 7, you know, after 7, it starts to change. But when we observe the little children and look at their behavior, they're completely innocent. I call it innocent happiness. And that their spirits are just completely free. They're detached. They don't have an attachment to, well, you know, mommy.
No attachment,
mommy,
no needs, no expectations.
Yeah, they have nothing like that. They have no expectations. You can yell at a kid and they'll be past it in 2 seconds, and they'll be onto their adventure of life, you know? And I think back, like, that's the way that I used to be. I remember being like that, where I was just playful and happy, and I was innocent and free, and that was me being my inner child, and I can see that now. And then when I meet adults who have completely forgot who they are, you know,
you can feel that.
I think that's who we are, is our inner child, where there's like this little innocent kids who are in big bodies now, and some of them have forgotten to be little children.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's sad to me to watch people go through that and then to not be aware of it. Have no idea, because they're, like you said, they're like, what's more, what else is there? Pay the bills and die, right?
Yeah.
They don't know that there's a big adventure right in front of them. And all they have to do is be curious. That's it. Like a little child again, like, what's that adventure about? Wow, to go back in time and to learn to be free again? A free human? What does that mean? And what is that journey about? And how do I get there?
Absolutely. It's such a huge word, because the word freedom, we hear it everywhere. They're like, really, what is the true freedom? Because often we think we are free. Let's say physically, you can travel, you can do whatever. It's the illusion. You can do everything you want to do. But it's not actually true. I experienced it myself. Like, when you are in these chains of the programs, and it can go really deep, but it's hard to describe it when you didn't go through it. And that's why I began this journey of healing the inner child. And you can see how it can truly shift the reality. You can start to attract totally new jobs, opportunities, people who are truly inspiring. And sometimes I'm like, especially lately, what kind of people I'm meeting? And they are not some kind of hippies lost in the world. That those are grounded people who have a huge vision, and they're still playful. And no matter the age, they can be 50, 60, you know, it doesn't matter. It's about the spirit. So it's often misinterpreted in this world that people think like being in touch with inner child means to repeat the cyclical behavior that we experience when we're children, right? Because we are, you know, the most important evolution of our subconscious is still age of 6. You know, then we are basically operating on delta waves, and we're taking everything very intensely. And when we take on a lot of unhealthy programs, you definitely, you know, and now we're getting to the topic, definitely, you know, many people who are, it doesn't matter the age, they're 40, 50, 60, and their emotional intelligence is like a small kid. Now you get candy, now! And, you know, the toxicity. And that's not the healthy inner child. That's actually the wounded inner child. And most of the people live their whole life on subconscious reactions, on automatic reactions. Like, imagine there was a survey and it found out that 96% of people basically are having 96% reactions subconscious, you know? So that's not the healthy way, because that is how wounded child operates. That is how you are just repeating the patterns, what you saw from parents, what they think the love is, and whatever that is. And that is affecting your whole reality, your relationships, your careers. And then you might become pretty lost.
Yeah, lost. And then what happens to the 90, what did you say, 96%? Excuse me.
Yeah, that was a survey. Like,
what do they do?
Well, average person has 96% of their reactions. Okay. We are reacting every day like 30,000 times to whatever. You know, yes, no, yes, no. This is bullshit. This is no. It's totally subconscious. It's that glacier that is under the water, you know?
Yeah. And what I was getting to is that 96% of the people that are out of touch with their inner child, they go to the therapist, right? And it's not,
yeah.
And it's not like for one day or one session or two sessions. It's for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I just posted this actually on one of my other accounts, and I said something to the effect: the reason why therapists don't have more clients is because they don't teach their clients how to take responsibility for their life.
Yes.
And they don't, they won't teach them that. This is what pisses me off. They, you know,
they are just making them victims. They're making them to come for more and more sessions, but they don't give them the keys how to help yourself.
It's like
they don't make them see their own medicine. And that's not just in like official therapists, that's many healers, many people. They don't know how to truly empower the people to understand you have the medicine within and to guide them, not to show them, ah, come here, I will help you shift something, and then you're back in your shit again, you know?
Exactly. I think that, you know, there are a percentage of people that really need therapy because they truly need therapy and they just need to get some things sorted out. But just like the mainstream medical profession, all they're doing is, you know, giving people the prescription for the pill and saying, okay, go away. And it's the same thing with the therapy people. You know, they're doing that. Now, I'm not slamming therapy people because I think that it does help people. But when they prolong it for such a long time, it just gets people more confused. So my observation is that there's a lot of people that they think that they're spiritual. They think that they have a lot of knowledge. However, they learn their knowledge from the therapist, not from the life experience.
And that's where a vicious cycle begins.
They need to be, what I say to people is, if you want to get cured, I'll tell you what, you give me your money, I'll cure you in a couple of days. And I say, do this, start observing children and be like children. And then you'll be cured, just like
beautiful.
That.
Beautiful.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
But as long as people get into their head, they're so into their head about the right, wrong, and they have to, I'm working on this. And
analyzing.
I'm working on this and... Yeah, like so you said freedom. We think that freedom is like about traveling. That's one kind of freedom, which is like not really. Freedom is like not being attached to anger or not having to project.
Not being slave of your emotions and the validation of other people. That was my huge lesson last year. And like I said, I was in most beautiful places. I'm not saying like I had everything, but you know, like, I had the help of my dad. I was in Thailand. I was in with the monks and getting tattoos and, you know, riding a motorbike. And I'm like drinking coconut milk. And I wasn't feeling fine, because if you having stuff stuck in your nervous system, you can be in the most beautiful background with everything and you can have the best information. But if it's not integrated, if you are still... existing on survival mode, on fight or flight, you will feel bad no matter where you are, you know? That's why they say, like, you know, these prisoners when they are, when the people are in jail, and I know it sounds like cliche, but that you can still be free. It's the opposite to what I felt. And it truly is about learning how to rewire your nervous system. And that's why I also do a lot of body work. And I'm not saying about body work like working out in fitness gyms, which is also an amazing thing. But I mean, you know, 80% of our thinking is in our body. Like we were talking about this also in the past in these interviews, that brain is connected with your guts, with the vagus, which is nerve that is responsible for our parasympathetic or sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like you said, many therapies where you just sit down with some kind of therapist and he asks you a question is useless, because the body is the gateway to our subconscious. Many things are hidden deeply there, which you didn't even know that are there. And when we want to when we think, we feel, and we are bringing it to the body, to the organs, we are either toxifying our body or we are nourishing our body. But the same body has a bidirectional function, which means if you are informing the body with breath or with visualization or the movement, I'm talking about the healing movement, the conscious movement, or you are doing something differently, then you are able to shift your state. So let's say you are feeling anxious and you will start to think about how you want to feel less anxious or how you want to forgive someone. That doesn't work. You need to shift your state of awareness. And that often comes through the body, through the conscious movement. And that's why it can do our breath work. When you're bringing a lot of oxygen to your body and bringing awareness to the part you didn't want to see. So that goes truly, truly beyond mind or what we can comprehend. And the body is really having so much wisdom that it is able to release the toxins, whether emotional, mental, physical, that it truly needs in that time. It happened to me many times, whatever was the problem, if it was with a partner, emotional, pain of the knee. When I went through the body, it truly released what it needed to release, because it's so connected. It's such a topic that needs so much more attention, how the mind is truly wired to the body. And that's why I found out with the breath work, for example, with conscious connected breath, that you can, in 1 year, reach such a breakthrough that you cannot do with a therapy which is just based on cognitive questioning in 10 years, you know? So we are such a society that is functioning on hyperachieving, on the brain, on analysis, on action, on thinking, and we are disconnected from the senses, from the body, from its needs, from its true needs, and from all the things that were bubbling up there, we suppressed, and then boom, you burn out, you shout, you are losing your shit. So, right. Do you know someone
let me ask you. So, like this whole thing that you talked about, toxic, right? There, you said there's mental toxicity, there's physical toxicity, there's
so many levels and layers.
Right. And so, like, when I think, like, I'm always working on detoxifying. I think I told you I was doing this healthy keto diet, right? So I started doing some intermittent fasting, and I actually lost a lot of weight, and I got my body into ketosis, which is a very, very refined detoxification.
Yeah, very good.
Where my cells, I mean, my body at the cellular level has begun to operate at like peak performance. And I'm like, I didn't even really know this until maybe 6 months ago. Okay.
Yeah.
What I did know many years ago, like the really toxic things are things like smoking, like overconsumption of alcohol, heavy
scrolling social media.
Right. All these different
things.
And so what I tell people is, if you want to begin to refine, to create a clearer mind, and this is one of the things that I am writing about in my book, because my journey has been about creating a clearer and clearer mind so that the choices that I make...
Clear channel.
Yes, a clear channel.
You become a clear channel, yeah.
So the choices that I'm making are the most healthy choices that I can make, for the purpose of that I'm adding something to the planet. I'm raising my personal consciousness.
That's for others.
Then I can't say that, like, if I'm like, if I hang up from here and go smoke a cigarette and get drunk off my ass, and then I tell somebody, hey, you need to detox yourself, you should stop smoking. That doesn't fly.
So that was the topic of my last year. I walk the talk. You know what was the topic of my last year? That I was having a lot of informations from my own experience and so on. And then anything that I didn't integrate, that I wasn't walking the talk, was because this is how it works. Mirroring neurons. You always get what you give out. So you are always being shown through the people, whether you like them or not, that how is it with you? Because the people outside is just a reflection, either what you see, of course, the positive, and the negative. No matter how angry you are becoming, oh, this person is doing this to me and it's so bad and they're so sucking. They're always reflecting the unseen things within you. Even the things you never express, the things that can come from your family, from your unprocessed emotions. And that's what actually happened to me, that everything that I didn't walk the talk was shown to me, you know? like if you want to be a leader, and truly leader, authentic leader, you gotta fix this. You don't have to talk about it, you gotta integrate it. Like, even to the greatest detail, I was trying to teach people about anxiety, and I never had anxiety, like true anxiety, which is independent from thoughts or emotions, which is coming out of the nervous system. Here we go. I experienced anxiety. You want to teach people about anxiety and you never had it? How can you do that? So truly, we have to express everything and walk the talk, yeah, like you said.
And it's really true. Like, I love that you talked about this thing that everybody's a reflection. So if somebody's speaking to you with a raised voice, right? And what's going on in my mind normally would be, you're talking to me like I'm an asshole and you're an asshole. And, you know, you're telling me lies, right? So this is what would normally go on in my mind. But the thing that I learned later on is what I need to be talking to myself is, thank you for showing me how not to be an asshole.
Exactly.
And it's a reflection, because have I been that way before in my life? Yeah. We can all be that way. And
yeah, what I meant by a reflection, there is so many, you know, there are certain cosmic principles how energy works. So when I said that people are just reflection, it doesn't mean when someone shouts on you that you are a person that is angry and that shouts. There is always this yin and yang composition. So often, let's say, that would be another huge topic we went through with Andrew on Self-Achievement Network about the healthy relationships and the dynamics that can go within masculine and feminine energy, and that is not wired to our gender, but through our natural disposition when we were born from our parents, is that, let's say, we are someone who doesn't have boundaries and who always saw with the parents that love means that someone shouts at us and someone disrespects us. So that, as small children, we think, oh, this is love. This is how we are distinguishing it. So subconsciously, we are always seeking that. And therefore, we are attracting someone, let's say, who shouts on us, or who is narcissist, or who is abusing our boundaries, unless we learn the lesson that we need to learn from our family to take the boundaries, speak our truth, to disconnect from these kind of people. Mm-hmm. So, of course, just to make sure you definitely understand, but other people understand that it's about reflection of the hidden things, which can be the opposite, if you understand what I mean.
I do. I totally do. But, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time left. Before we go, though, I would like to ask you a question about this thing about responsibility. And I had mentioned earlier, you know, if these therapists would teach their clients to how to take responsibility for life, what are your thoughts about this whole thing about taking responsibility for your life? What does that mean to you?
Wow, like that's actually a beautiful question.
If you were going to teach that to me, what would you say?
If I was telling you what is responsibility. Wow, beautiful. It's about, like I said, responsibility. Let's say when I found out that a lot of patterns, how I was attracting relationships, and I'm not talking only about like romantic relationships, but it usually starts with people mirroring it to us. I thought like, oh my God, now I see that this is reflecting how my mother or my father was acting. And I got so mad. Like, people get so mad on the outside world. We always are trying to figure out everything in the outside world because this is your fault, this is their fault, you know? That's the projection, the blame, and you are in the victim mode. I think the responsibility is the opposite of being the victim. Like I said, we have a choice, the conscious choice that you become the scripter of your life and you flip the script of whatever was being done to you. And that's not easy. I know many people who are traumatized, abused, and not just in an emotional way, and it's not easy to say like, oh, I will take this shit and I will be responsible. Being responsible doesn't mean to take the burden on your shoulder. It means that, you see, I took this, it wasn't my fault, but I can change it because I have all the tools. I can become the scripter of my life. And it will not be easy, but I will stay committed because this is my life and I will not waste any damn minute of my life anymore. Does it make sense?
I love it. I agree with you. I think that, like, when I was going through my little journey early on and learning these concepts, one of my teachers, he said, let's talk about responsibility. And of course, I was in my late 20s, so I instantly knew, oh, I know what that means. And he said, how many words is responsibility? And I was like, how many words is responsibility? How many words is that? It's one word. He said, no, it's two words. And I was like, two words. He says,
responsibility.
Ability, right? Responsibility. Wow. And then that I was like, sense. Okay, responsibility. And then he said, now turn them around. What does this say now?
Ability to respond. Exactly.
And this is what I think about when I say to people, you have the ability. You are ultimately in charge of everything. The way that you think, the way you feel, the way that your emotions, everything that comes up. Now, I will admit, I'm not a perfect example. I've had to learn, and I've learned a whole lot. Do I still get tripped up once in a while? Yeah, do I want to you know? I still have that, especially in traffic, you know?
That's the best teacher.
It's the best teacher. But, you know, we have the ability to respond. And so then this guy said
to
me,
not to react, respond, not to react.
Yeah. Yes. So he said to me, if you truly want to be happy, take responsibility for your life. And he said, if you don't know what that means, be curious. Because if you become curious, you will become one of the happiest people on the planet. So with the child. So this is perfect because I had a lot of shit with my parents. My dad was a very angry man and he beat the
most
shit out
of the
me.
Leaders that powerful people had, and that's what they brought them to the power, actually.
Yeah. So I was mad at my dad for beating my ass when I was a kid, and I was pissed off at my mom for not sticking up for me. And she was all this passive, you know, she didn't say anything. So anyway, so this guy said to me, my teacher, he says to me, so you're angry at your parents? And I said, yeah, I have anger. I'm pissed off at my parents. And I'm in my 20s, my late 20s. And he said, well, who chose your parents? And I was like, what are you talking about? Who chose my parents? I said, I don't know who chose my parents. I don't have any idea. How did I was just born, right? And he said, no. Let's take a closer look. You got your parents because you chose them. Now, how did you choose them? There once upon a time, you were this little cell going like this with a tail. And then there was this other part of you that was inside there, which was the egg, but you hadn't met yet. And so there you were, this single cell, swiggling your tail, right? And then you found the egg. So who was it that wiggled your tail to get you to the egg? And I was like, I think that was me. So who chose your parents? I was like, I chose my parents. Why? To teach us great lessons for how to be and for how not to be. Now, what I've learned is, when I was younger, I was a parent, and I was not a good parent. I could give you a lot of stories, but I learned, and I am a great parent now. I'm all about inclusion, and I want to support, and I, you know, like this, but I also am not an enabler. But to me, responsibility is about me choosing all the little things in my life so that I can direct. So instead of saying, oh, I need to have a drink, I say, I would like to have a drink by choice.
Yes. Becoming your own master. And that's actually how it is when you said ability to respond is, I will tell you a funny example. When the light can create a friction, and that will be very short. I was getting out of the underground like 2 days ago, and there was one lady, and she was obviously, I could have seen it in her eyes, and I literally sent her compassion right away, like she was getting drunk, and she was talking about like her sad life, and I was smiling, you know, I was really in a good mood, and I was trying to And she started to say very, very nasty words to me because she saw that, like, what is she trying to do? Smile at me when I'm in this shit mood? And this is like kind of a symbol for many things that happen to me with people. And she was telling me very nasty words. And, you know, there was this choice, like, am I going to react from my saboteurs, from my reptilian brain and from the avoider or hyperachiever, and I'm going to tell her, fuck off, you know, or whatever. And I was like, I chose to react just by non-reaction. I was like, I hope you're fine, thank you. And I walked through, you know, and I didn't say anything. And it's not about that, because someone can walk through and be angry, but it's about our inner landscape, that I truly, truly put effort to not feel angry or feel like she's just a piece of shit, you know. That's what people can do. This is what our inner saboteurs do. We are always judging subconsciously. We don't even realize everyone in underground, everyone on the street. But it's sort of like, I'm just sending you lots of compassion, man. It must be so difficult for you. And I just walk there. And then that was like a conscious choice. And it doesn't happen many times, especially in these small moments, you know. So I think it's, and you know what? When I reacted like that from the inside, she became much more gentle. She was like, she stopped shouting. Of course, it's not like, oh, I think I can heal everybody. No, but what happens, there is something called mirroring neurons, which means we are truly, truly reflecting others. So if you're in that state of sage mind, of the Jedi mind, which is like in state of compassion, that doesn't mean illusion, but that state of laser-focused mind on just taking the good out of the situation. So even if it's crap, and we never know if it's good or bad, because it can do something that seems bad can be good. This is just our ego. Oh, this is bad, this is good. And in the end, it can be totally different. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of deceptions. I experienced it by myself. So when we are in this sage mind that is operating on turning every single thing into the gift or opportunity, people can feel it. They don't understand what is going on. Like they feel something different to you. And that happened to me many times. Like they stare at you or something, and it's not because how you look like or what you're wearing, but you have a different energy, and that can make them sometimes like their saboteurs are here and they want to do this to you. But you are here, not like, I'm not talking like you're about them. I'm talking about like you're in this state that you can't be disturbed, that you see their suffering. They suddenly kind of shift because there is nothing to create a toxic cycle with, you know? So this is a beautiful example of what you said, like you really can shift the surroundings just by example of being in that mood. And it's not easy, but it's attainable.
What I love about you is that you're at an age where you are curious. And
that can be anytime.
you're using the opportunity that you have now. And I've seen you, I've known you for 4 or 5 years, something like this, 3 or 4. And you always are using the opportunity to evolve. And it's just like, wow. I love that about you.
That's same with you. That's why I guess we are talking, because the mirroring neurons work.
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, when you said the word consciousness, I think one of us said it, but I think consciousness is just another word for awareness, seeing more. You know, I don't think that it has to be anything like holy and spiritual. Consciousness is what we have.
It's what we are.
Yeah, so we have the body, and then we have the physical universe, and we have all these things, but then we have the ability to think, to have awareness. It's like all of the living things on the planet have an innate awareness, whatever that is, call it consciousness, call it an awareness. Yeah. But we have that.
My master said it beautifully, that awareness is basically saying like where your mind goes, the energy flows. So you put there your awareness through your focused intention. That is basically awareness, right?
And we're either working on that consistently or we're not. And there have been these cycles in my life where I was not working on it, not interested.
Absolutely.
Focused on my survival. Too. And then I got back into the groove where now I'm, you know, was okay, back into, okay, and I need to pay attention now and be kinder and sweeter. And then I would forget again. And now it's like I'm on this, I've been on this for maybe 20 years where it's like I have more.
Healing is not a straight line. It's like,
yeah,
sometimes it's like an infinite symbol. It takes you back and then you're moving forward and you feel you back and then you're forward more. So it's always, you move always.
Well, mine used to be more like this. Okay. Now it's like, it's up here and it's kind of like this.
Yeah, exactly. Because you are able to serve the wave better, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I do find that I have a lot more tolerance for people that don't have the same understanding that I do. And I don't fault people for that. And there's a point where I do have like zero tolerance for people that lie. Intentionally lie, that make boundaries. Up stories. Yeah, for people that cross the boundaries, and it's because I know that they don't know better. That's my intolerance. And
you accept them, but you have the boundaries. Okay, this is not for me. I accept you. I see you for who you are, but that's not my ship anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's what we have to do. Is just say, okay, you know, you're going to go this way, and I'm not going that way. I've been down that path, and that's a dead end over there. I'm not going there. I'm going to continue.
Yes.
You know.
Because then it just slows you down.
Absolutely. Okay. We have been 41 minutes.
Wow.
Went quick, doesn't
it? Time flies so fast. We have always something to talk about. That's crazy. I love it.
So we'll schedule it again. Hopefully we can do it again next week. And
yeah. Please.
Okay. All right, so now you will you'll do another session with someone, yes?
With my group that I haven't been online to like for 1 year, so it's gonna be funny.
Wow. Wow. Well, have fun, enjoy that, and when I see you on the calendar, we'll be back.
Absolutely. There's so much more coming and to enjoy too.
All right, thank you everybody for listening and watching. We'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.